and welcome to another episode of Mormon History Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. I just want to talk a little bit real quick about how I understand that it's probably weird that a guy who has a podcast named Mormon History Podcast isn't always talking about Mormon history. And I understand how that would be confusing. But what I want to say is that there are some historical episodes that will be coming up, but they take a lot of time and research to put together. I oftentimes have to sit there and read through a lot of letters and try to figure out what the handwriting says. In the meantime, I think, though, that there are some episodes that I can put out that might help some people with struggles. And really, typically, the struggles that people face is due to Mormon history, and so therefore it kind of all just ties together. So I hope that you'll forgive me for misleading you if you feel that way. And if my podcast or any of the other podcasts that are hosted at MormonDiscussionPodcast.org help you, I hope that you will consider donating so that we can continue to put out episodes. It does take a lot of resources to keep these up for you guys. So with that, let's get started. You are angry. Thoughts are racing through your head. What will my spouse think or do? What about my kids? What about my parents, my neighbors, my ward, my friends? Crap! I work for the freaking church! I have to have a temple recommend just to keep my job. My son just left on a mission. My sister's getting married in the temple soon. Oh, geez, my son turns 8 next year. My baby is supposed to be blessed next month. I hate the church. You did this to me! I hate you! I hate you! Screw you, Joseph Smith! You're angry. The thing about anger is that it often has a root cause. The root cause isn't always that something was done to you, but oftentimes the root of anger is fear. So let's back up. You're afraid. No, I'm angry. Screw you, podcast guy that I don't know. I hate you too. I get it. Okay, you're angry, but you're angry because you are afraid. You're afraid that your wife will leave you because she said that having a priesthood holder in the home is important. You're afraid that your husband will leave you because he always wanted a faithful wife who raises her kids in faith. You're afraid that your kids won't understand, that your parents won't understand. You're afraid your ward and neighbors will judge you. Because after all, you just want to sin. Or you've already sinned. You're afraid that you're going to lose your job at the church that you've had for 15 years. Afraid that you won't get to baptize your son. You're afraid you're going to be the only one outside of the temple for your sister's wedding. Afraid that your son on his mission will be disappointed. You're afraid that you won't get to bless your baby. You're afraid that you wasted your life, missed out on all the things that not being a Mormon would have given you. And you can't tell anyone. You don't dare. I mean, how do you tell your wife or husband that you're having a faith crisis? Right now, you are sick. S-I-C. Spiritually in crisis. And when the body gets sick, it has a tendency to want to free itself from whatever is causing it. You're feeling woozy, and if life has taught you anything, you're about to vomit. Unlike a child who is learning for the first time what throwing up is like and just spinning around the room and running down the hall, you parents know what I'm talking about. Just remember that you know the signs. Feeling faint, sweat, pale, the pain in the depth of your gut. You're now at the age where you can aim and put it where it needs to go. This feeling you have right now about the church is the same. Don't vomit all over the place and on everyone. It isn't going to end well. We forgive children for doing it, not so much adults. No, buddy, And I mean nobody who hasn't gone through this already is ready for it. You didn't just discover some great new anything that is worthy to be yelled from the rooftops thinking people are just going to wake up and say, thank you. You may have to just come out of the bathroom with a fake smile, and when your spouse asks you if you're okay, you may have to just nod your head. The next step is finding a way to convert that anger into something else. And it's not going to be easy, because you are most likely in a situation where you will have to be reminded constantly of your anger. You have a calling teaching primary, you have a picture in your house, you have work. Your wife is asking you for a blessing. Why are they always singing praise to the man in opening exercise of priesthood? Your kids bring home a tithing slip from primary, a fake missionary name badge that says future missionary. And your son just got the assignment to give a talk next Sunday in primary about Noah's Ark. Yeah, there's no way that I'm going back to church. No friggin' way. You start thinking about how many times can I play sick on the weekends before my wife asks me what's up. Maybe my work needs people to work on the weekends. Yeah, that's what I can do. I'll just work every Sunday. Or maybe I'll just forget accidentally to set my alarm on my phone. And maybe my wife will forget to set hers and we'll just conveniently be late. Or when you do have to go, then you tend to walk in late to every meeting so that you're not asked to give the opening prayer or the closing prayer because they've already assigned it. Or as a teenager, maybe I'll just wear a different colored shirt and they won't ask me to pass or bless the sacrament. And I'll just sit in the back and hopefully I won't make eye contact with the teacher anytime he asks a question about anything with the church. You know, maybe my family would just be better off if I just didn't exist anymore. Because then, at least I wouldn't be a disappointment. They could just remember me for being the faithful guy that led the family. Now I just gotta figure out how to make it look like an accident. For those of you who are listening who aren't angry or aren't having a faith crisis, you probably think that what I just said is a little dramatic. But everything that I've said is a fraction of what people are feeling and things that I've thought or have gone through. Maybe not suicidal thoughts necessarily, but there are a lot of people who have thought about it, and there's a lot of people who have done it. So I'm not saying it to be funny, because this is no laughing matter. And like I said in my second episode, I had a lot of time to process history because I spent a lot of time dealing with it. And so while I never have shouted, screw you, Joseph Smith, or yelled into a pillow about the church, there has been a lot of feelings of, what the heck do I do? Because I have a wife, I have kids, it's not just me. And what if it was just me? It's been my whole life. But I'm to a point where even if my wife is sick, even if all the kids are sick with my wife, I can still go to church by myself. I don't go because of her. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or say, look at me. I'm just saying that it's different for everybody, and you might get to that point where you can go if you want, and it's not a big deal. But I recognize and I acknowledge that you're angry, that you're hurting. And although I have a hard time with sympathy and empathy in my personal life, I want to not give sympathy, but I want to give that empathy. But going back to the second episode about drawing those hard lines and also involving family and spouse and kids and friends, the general reaction when someone in Mormonism feels that they have woken up is to try to get their significant other, their friend, family, parents, whoever it might be, to read the CES letter or any of the other documents like that. And as a last-stitch effort, after not convincing them to read the CES letter, it's to just get them to read the church essays. The problem is that you've already shown that you're angry. You've already shown that you're hurt. You've already shown them that they don't want to read anything that you tell them to read. Because if I know how you feel, and now you're trying to point me to some direction, I'm not going to follow it. Another thing I want to say to maybe the members that could be listening to this who maybe have judged people for leaving the church or having a faith crisis and don't understand why, and you think that they're just lazy, whether for good reasons or not, a lot of the people who go through faith crises or who are part of the ex-Mormon community on Reddit actually study more and in depth more than most members do, because it's the first time in their life that they've ever looked beyond the correlated material that's recommended for the current year. They hear something that President Kimball said or Harold B. Lee said, and they start looking into it. Or they go to Fair Mormon and look at the apologetic responses to things. Or they go to the church essays and then start looking at the footnotes and start reading those and figuring out, well, that's not really correct. And so while some people do leave because they don't really care or they have never really been interested anyways, a lot of people have studied like crazy. A good example is Tanner over at Zelf on the Shelf. Go listen to his story and tell me that he left because he was lazy. So getting back to all you angry apostates, and I say that with love because, quick story, we had a guy move into the ward early this year, and the text went out to like 10 people to go help him move in. I decided to go over there and help, and I was the only one that showed up. And I thought I had texted everybody a reply all type of thing, but I only ended up texting it to the Elders Quorum president. But I used my passive aggressiveness to say, it's interesting that the ward apostate is the only person who shows up to help. There's still plenty to do. But anyways, so how can we turn that anger into anything good? I mean, you're fuming, right? So how is that even going to work? Well, in most cases, you really don't have a choice. I mean, you're going to have to be angry privately on like some web forum or with a friend. But around your coworkers, your ward members, your wife, your husband, your kids, you may have to just keep it to yourself, and so now we got to figure out what we can do with it. And this isn't where I'm going to tell you to double down and pray until you know it's true kind of a thing. It's going to be more of a way to look at the positive, but not forget the negative. And then maybe on the next episode I do, I will share kind of ways in which I can still participate in that Fowler Stage 5 while attending church every week and actually participate and give input in the lessons, regardless of whether or not someone else is giving their, you know, TBM response. So the one thing that I would suggest is continue to listen to podcasts, but I would maybe avoid currently ones that are triggering to you. And you'll hear that phrase a lot, especially on maybe podcasts where they discuss like mental illnesses or even sexual abuse or things like that. They'll say, hey, this might be triggering to you. But if all you ever do is listen to the overly critical podcasts, then it's just going to make you more and more angry. And some of you who are in the super early phase of angry, you have gone from last week saying, I know the church is true, I know Joseph Smith is a prophet, to reading the CES letter over the weekend and now saying that you hate everything about Mormonism and that you're in a cult. So obviously the wounds are still bleeding and it's probably not the best idea to just listen and read and go over all the negative crazy stuff, because that is what's going to make you end up vomiting all over everybody else. You'll be talking to your friend and they'll say, hey, it's Joseph Smith's birthday. And you're going to be like, yeah, and screw him and he's a liar and too bad that angel didn't kill him with the sword. So what I would suggest is find some hobbies that you enjoy. Find some topics that you enjoy and just look into those, regardless of if it's Mormonism or not. Maybe now that your mind is a little open, you can start looking into evolution or different religions. Maybe listen to some other sermons. That has actually helped me tremendously, and it's also made it so I've learned a lot more about the Bible. Speaking of the Bible, I mean, learn about the history of the Bible. Learn about the Hebrew Bible. Learn about the Greek Bible. Learn about the Septuagint. Learn more about the differences between the Gospels. Bill Rill has quite a few episodes on, for instance, the historical Jesus as well as the Gospels. Look at ways to serve others in the community or, you know, wherever it may be. Look for opportunities. It might be the first time you do it because you want to and not because you feel obligated to check off something. But really, you're not going to have a lot of effect either for yourself or for others unless you can find that inner authority and own it. And that might sound like a double negative about owning your inner authority, but there's a difference between recognizing inner authority and actually owning that inner authority. And you need to actually be able to look at both sides fairly. There's a quote from Elder James E. Talmage that a lot of people in your position use as an argument against TBMs. But really, we need to read it ourselves and apply it to us. And that is, the man who cannot listen to an argument which opposes his views either has a weak position or is a weak defender of it. No opinion that cannot stand discussion or criticism is worth holding. And it has been wisely said that a man who knows only half of any question is worse off than a man who knows nothing of it. He is not only one-sided, but his partisanship soon turns him into an intolerant and a fanatic. In general, it is true that nothing which cannot stand up under discussion and criticism is worth defending. So you can see why someone in your shoes would want to use that against a TBM. And in case you don't know what a TBM is, it means a true blue Mormon or a true blood Mormon. Just someone who is a faithful member through and through. But if you apply that to yourself as well, you will see that maybe you need to be able to defend your point and also look at their point and defend it as well. So if someone were to ask you, why would someone want to be a Mormon? You should be able to give them a reason why someone would want to be a Mormon without coming off sarcastic or rude. Another piece of advice that I might give is to research things for yourself. Don't just take everyone else's word for it. For instance, sometimes people will misquote something, and that misquote ends up getting spread around, and then it just makes that position look weak. Because anyone who is on the faithful side is only going to know that it was misquoted or that it's wrong, and therefore that's all that they're going to see. They're not going to look at it as being a similar quote or something that is like what was said. They're just going to say, see, anti-Mormon, it's wrong. Which is only going to rile you up and get you to that place where, again, you end up vomiting on everybody. So if I understand you correctly, you don't want me to be angry. You want me to just figure out what the root cause of my anger is. You want me to continue to go to church, be positive, and not listen to super critical podcasts, but listen to some other ones. Is that what you're saying? Yes and no. You have a right to be angry. I just want you to know why you're angry and what you can do with that anger. And then you need to work on your stages of faith and just gain knowledge and then gain authority. That's when you can move into being a productive person and not a destructive person. And it's going to take time, and it's going to take effort, and you're going to have to hide it. That doesn't sound healthy at all, and I'm sure that that goes against any mental health instructions ever. And that probably solidifies it in your mind that you are part of a cult. But unfortunately, there are no safe places for non-black and white members. Which is why people like myself go to church and continue to do podcasting and things of this nature. Because I want to have a place where people can feel like they can still go and be different and believe something different and have someone to talk to about it. So my last final call is to please reach out to me, reach out to Bill, reach out to somebody. You can email me at mormonhistorypodcast@gmail.com, or even on Facebook, you can message me at the Mormon History Podcast Facebook page. But you can talk to me about anything you want. You can ask me questions. You can do all of that. I will do my best to answer it and help you, and let's get through this together. Going through what I have gone through, knowing what I know, being where I am now, has made me a more caring person, and I understand people better, and I really, truly want to be your friend. I want to know you. I want to be in your life, because I don't want you to feel alone. Nobody should be alone. That's not what the gospel of Jesus Christ is about, or the gospel of the flying spaghetti monster, if that's who your new God is. And like I said in the beginning of this episode, while I'm in the middle of recording the next historical episode, the next one that I plan on doing is about truth, and also I'll give a few examples of the way that I participate in church, which even includes standing up,
every so often in fast and testimony meeting. And if that just surprised you, well, I think you'll be in for a treat. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Mormon History Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope that you'll tune in next time. And until then, have a good one.